Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and tonight we're going to kind of have a unique opportunity. Amy is actually at a convention this week, and I'm not able to be on the show. So we're going to be just diving in here with a lot of different insights that I've had with the show, and really love for anybody who wants to go ahead and jump on the call, since we do it live on Tuesday nights Pacific Standard Time here in the California area. That number is going to be 646-727-3206. Or if you have any kind of comments or ideas that you'd like to go ahead and leave after the show's over, and you're just listening with whether you're on iHeart or iTunes or with Google Play, we really encourage you to go ahead and just give us any comments. And then you want to go to the transformation-cafe.com. Great place to go ahead and be connecting with the opportunities for that. So we are in the Cafe Book Club. We are in chapters 11 and 12 of Frenemies by Shasta Nelson. And, you know, really want to encourage everybody, if this is the first time you're listening to the show, to go back and really be checking out all the rest of the episodes. It's really been just a dynamic book with, oh gosh, just so many full topics with each chapter. You know, we've really just been so blessed to be going through these books with just so many dynamic ideas and inspirational ways that we can just be just improving our lives, improving our concepts of relationship. And something I really appreciate about Shasta, you know, she's always really coming from that place of really in her heart of hearts. If you go back to our other episodes, Andy's done a great job with listing YouTubes and things like that, of you can actually see Shasta talking about the book and just her love and dedication, because she really feels that, you know, these friendships, changing the dynamic of a friendship is really going to be changing the world. And gosh, I want to thank her for that, because it's really true. When we look at just the different things that we bring into relationships, one thing she talks about is the opportunity to grow through relationships. And boy, isn't that true, that with every person that we interact with, it's just an opportunity for us to be able to grow and pause, you know, lovingly with ourselves and just say, you know, what is this about and how can I help myself and help this other person to just be able to go to a deeper level with one another. And I know that's really happened to me in my life. I've had the opportunity to just have a couple really good friends over the years that have really given me a place where I could feel safe, feel like I could come to being able to just share myself in a very intimate way that I never had before. And I really want to thank them. And thank Shasta for just really being able to come and, you know, be looking at some of the tougher, you know, questions still. Tonight we're going to be exploring the toxic relationships, you know, toxic friendships, and, you know, really getting into that. And then also ways that we could resolve that with their, you know, just the challenges that can come up when we're looking at that. And that's going to be in Chapter 11. And then in Chapter 12, we're going to be looking at envy and jealousy and how that can be something that can really undermine friendships in ways that, gosh, you know, you can't even imagine sometimes when you've got these little things that I think a lot of it has come from childhood, and we've just never been able to resolve that and give, be lovingly with ourselves and with that other person in ways that we can move forward. And Shasta actually is going to be giving us 5 practices with each of these different topics, and I really want to make sure that give ourselves a little bit of time to walk through all that. So Chapter 11 is called The Obstacles to Intimacy, and it's the toxic friend trend, or the fear that we aren't good enough. And I know as women, we really can just have that as something that we kind of have just in the back of our mind, in the back of our consciousness, that, you know, am I worthy of this person? Am I worthy of this relationship? And really putting myself out there. So she says, I can't find anyone who is as healthy or self-aware as I am. And indeed, in friendship, there's studies that, you know, when people come to feeling just inadequate when it comes to just having these toxic friends that seem to just always be complaining about themselves or their situations, or we're going to get into just some of the different things that people have problems with when it comes to relationships. So she submitted a study for 18,000 women and 4,000 men. So they had found that 84% of women responding to this test revealed that they had a toxic friend, and one-third of which were the corresponding best friends. And so, you know, can imagine having your best friend you consider toxic. And for whatever reasons that we're holding on to those things. She says, we've been told that the healthiest and most mature among us are actively eliminate all imperfections. And so we'll talk about imperfection. And people from our lives bidding from such mantras as, you know, some people say, you know, people inspire you or they drain you, so you need to pick wisely. And if their presence can't add to the value of your life, then you need to make them absent in your life. Because what difference will it make because they're there? And surrounding yourself with others who are going to lift you up higher, or don't bother with them. And that's one thing about friends intimacy that's been a continuing theme, is it isn't a matter of everything being really good or being really bad. It's a matter of being authentic, being really real with one another. So it's important for us to realize when we're talking about, you know, the different friends and things like that, you know, a lot of the media has things out there like, you know, you'll see topics that say, you know, the 10 signs for your friends that are toxic and how to recognize a toxic friend. And, you know, the whole thing about weeding out these wolves in sheep's clothing. When in actuality, you know, sometimes it's about stepping back a little bit and looking at, you know, what is really going on with the relationship and why do I necessarily feel that they're toxic? You know, what are they doing or not doing? It could be something that I consider such a problem. She says, it's no wonder that we're lonely when we're scared of letting imperfected people get too close to us. Far too easy to buy into the theory that we are not finding the right people. The few in this world who would not only get us, love us, and accept us, but also be worthy of us. It's like a needle in a haystack. Odds leave us with few choices. Dismiss most people with an adequate and search elsewhere. Convince ourselves it's a lost cause and resigning to feeling disconnected but safe. And that's really another theme that we've been talking about too, is about you know, can I allow myself to come to a new level of sharing myself with another person when you know, letting go of the idea of being hurt or being afraid of that, you know, when it comes to that safety. But as well as that, too, when it comes to safety, is recognizing that, you know, it's our responsibility to have personal boundaries and to be making sure that, you know, how much do I share at a particular time. If you go back to previous shows, when you look at when we're going through, the book's been divided up into three parts. And part one and part two really go talking into about, you know, how can I be in a place where I'm taking baby steps in this relationship when I find a new friend. And, you know, just learn just like anything else. It's the baby steps and very incrementally allowing ourselves to be able to learn about one another and be in a place where over time and experiences and through, you know, just sitting and talking with one another and then finding activities and things that we can do with one another, we learn how to be safe with one another and just find ways of deepening the relationship and finding out about each other. She says there's a general truth that we can't enjoy intimacy if we're blaming others. So if, you know, if you're always like, well, if she were like this, we could have a better friendship. You know, it's just like any other relationship. You know, it takes two and being able to look at that. Sometimes, yes, it may be something where it's something where it can't work very well. But also along with that, too, is it, you know, is have my perceptions about what I consider a good friend or somebody who is inadequate, making it difficult for that person to be able to become closer to you. Chessy really does a great job of talking about toxic. It comes from the Latin word toxium, which is poison arrow. And it's the original derived from the clinical definition of toxic, which we had used for personal disorders or psychoses, including to inflict harm onto ourselves or another. So she really goes on to think, you know, boy, we've just been using this toxic, just, you know, using it so carelessly when it comes to having it out in the language. And it's undeniable that we really need to look at, you know, what is really happening when it comes to that. So it's been grossly misused with that word. So it's really important to be able to look at that and reserve it for just terms when it truly is toxic and then it's undeniable that, you know, there are actually some malicious intent that's being happening instead of having it just being, you know, when you go through a detox, that kind of thing. You know, we've got it on a health level too. So that's kind of an interesting that we put out there. One thing with this chapter 11, she also talks about a book called The Wisdom of the Enneagram, A Complete Guide to the Psychological and Spiritual Growth of the 9 Personality Types. And when we go into the 5 different practices that we do, there's actually an opportunity to be able that you can go to their website and be able to look at these different things when it comes to your personality and way that you're either healthy or unhealthy, in an unhealthy way that you're sharing yourself with others. And when we get to that, I'll go ahead and make sure that you guys have that address. So actually, it's right here. It's you go to www, and it's ennegramin.stitute.com. Oh my goodness, that's a lot. But I'll make sure that Andy's got that available for you guys so we can have that. And it's a / that says Guide to All Rees-Hudd's Test. Hashtag, and then test is in all caps in parentheses. So, again, we'll have that. It's available for you guys to be able to go ahead and look at that and be able to take the test if you want to. So that's something that we find really interesting. So some of the things that they look at in the test is, are you being self-absorbed in general when you're engaging with another person? Short when, you know, you need to get off the phone? Are you canceling on times when you're going to be together on a regular basis? Do you forget birthdays and other milestones for the other person? Do you interrupt when someone else is speaking? Do you sound critical when you're talking to people? So there's just all these different things that you can go ahead and test yourself for. If there's something that, you know, you think you really need to be able to look at that. So she says, we can acknowledge imperfection and strive to improve. So one of the things that can cause a real problem with toxicity is, you know, again, going back to like, am I good enough, is looking from a level of, you know, the imperfection and that, you know, really moving into a place of like, you know, I'm just seeking to do, you know, it's not perfection. It's basically being able to know that I've made, you know, progress. So it's progress instead of perfection. And that's something that they talk about in the 12 step. And then last episode, we talked about that, about, you know, some of these things when it comes to some of the difficulties in relationships, some of the difficulties in having things for being authentic and also being in a place where you can be intimate with one another, is really moving past some of these different things that have caused people to be looking at, you know, addiction and having it be something that can really help you. And we've talked before on the show with Friendtimacy about, you know, it's so important to really have good friends and to be able to be in a place where you can have safety and share with one another. Because, you know, even just on a health level, people have looked at that for your well-being and you know, it helps with hypertension and blood pressure, and there's just a constant improvements, which is different things that you can do on a psychological and physical level for yourself. I mean, you've got community and have a good group of friends that you can share with. And, you know, I know the value of, gosh, it's so nice to have somebody that you can just really sit with and being able to share, you know, and be able to just, you know, whether it's brainstorm or, you know, sometimes you just say, you know, I've just got to vent for a second, and it's nothing you personally, can I go ahead and just say what I need to say? So it's really important that we have those things. And again, it's something that, you know, if you go back to some of the other episodes where you can be able to do that. So Shasta says, the question isn't whether we should let needy or depressed people into our lives. We do, and we should. Rather, the question is how much we should let them in and for what purpose. Our closest friends are those whom we incrementally move up into. And she talks about the friendship triangle. We've got that on a couple shows past, again, with the TransformationDeskCafe.com. There's actually, Andy had done a graphic there, so you could see that, where one side has positivity, one side has consistency, and the other side has vulnerability. And all those dynamics really are so important to be able to have true intimacy with somebody and friendtimacy. So it's the practicing of these different things that really help everything to become possible. So it's like, how much am I going to let that person in and be able to, you know, have it be a healthy thing? So Shasta goes on to say, I'm not advocating any relationship that lacks the clear boundaries necessary to maintain your emotional or physical safety. What I'm saying is that most of us so scarcely or mistake flaws, weaknesses, and deficiencies that we are limiting ourselves to a bunch of shadow relationships. For if we go any deeper, we will always find that our friends aren't perfect. Ironically, finding these imperfections and not being fazed by them is actually the hallmark of any deep connection. So it's, you know, it's the give and take and the good and the bad and the difficult and the easy and the funny, being able to come to all those different places and being able to share ourselves with that person. It's not about our perfect facades that keep us knitted together, but our willingness to expose the truth that we're still all on this journey. It's our own light. And if our own light is dim or flickering, then perhaps you may need to have some boundaries and limit your time with people who can't feel to support you. The happier and more powerful version of yourself is there, but know too that it's temporary. That it's temporary, and then something to own for yourself rather than to blame another. So you know, just really looking at the whole way of healthy boundaries and how am I sharing myself, how am I not sharing myself, and you know, there's something to set for people who can really feel to drain you, as opposed to somebody while you're in their company you just really enjoy it and you just feel energized. So those are ways of being able to look at yourself. So you know, with all that, we're going to look at the five practices of owning up to being able to have courageous actions when we're looking to see if you have a toxic friend or you've got situations within your relationship that can be just challenging. So the first practice is own your imperfections. And she said, our temptation is to always see the faults in others. But given that, the study cited earlier noted that 84% of the women claim to have had a toxic friend, this can only mean two things. That we've all been friends with the same 16% of the population who are toxic, or that to someone else, we are the toxic one. So it's always that give and take of what's going on with everything. This is our inability to accurately gauge our own level of health is something that's something to be able to look at. And, you know, if you really looked at that, you know, we all have our imperfections in the way that we share ourselves. And, you know, it's like having a bad day or having just challenging circumstances in our life that really can affect our whole way that we interact with others. You know, a friendspiration that she has, and I love that she's created that. I think it's so wonderful. It's so nice to have these little pauses in the book where she really shares different things. She says, I want to keep growing and learning. And again, that's something that really remembering that this is something that really gifting to ourselves, having friends and being able to invest in ourselves and investing in another can really help us to know things about ourselves that we just never would have known if we hadn't had that relationship. So the more I study and value myself, the more my defensive mechanisms drop, and the more I'm able to see my own motivations, triggers, and tendencies. Much like those who said, the more I study this subject, the more I realize I realize how little I know. We will know that when we're maturing, we aren't as convinced that everyone around us needs to change. Like teenagers who think they know the most, we're being called to grow up. And just kind of recognizing, you know, the longer you know someone, the more you just basically have a sense of grace about things, about, you know, oh, you forgot my birthday. Well, me too. I forgot yours. Let's celebrate, you know, a month from now. And it's not about, you know, the day. It's what we do. And having that be something that can really be celebrating with our stuff. So the second practice is assuming the best of others. She says, in a world where we screen calls and ignore emails, bullying and block comments and unfriend with a click, we are in ever greater risk of seeing others as objects, things that can just be easily discarded or retained. And that's so true. I mean, that's one of the things I found really interesting getting into this book. It's just the dynamic of how friendship has really changed because of technology, and where we are now with it is really something that being able to pause for a second and being able to look at it. It's far too often that we believe that mistakes and imperfections of others are more of the real self than of all the good things that they are. And the real trouble is that assuming that the worst in others can be more fatal to a friendship than the initial perceived mistake. We can commit to forging deeper connections. We have the practice of looking for and believing in the best in others. And that's always the case. And sometimes you'll have a situation happening, and once the honeymoon phase is over in a friendship, and you're just thinking, oh, okay, this is who you really are now. When actually just, you know, it could be a bad day or circumstance or something, and it isn't necessarily who that person is 24/7. It's just a matter of their circumstances. So in this really area where we're doing the five different practices, it's really great because Shasta has included something to be able to look at, kind of a reflection time, and also for practice. And in number two, she said, to really, you know, make an effort to actively look for and verbally affirm the positive attributes of someone. And she has a video that we had in the last episode in TC 306. It was about to affirm someone and to ask. And it's a really great practice because it really gives benefit of the doubt when there's something going on with somebody. And it helps to let people know, you know, what you like and what you're grateful for, and then also being able to practice for what you need. And I think that's something in friendships that's kind of a stumbling block sometimes, because most people really have never really done that or practiced being able to ask for what they want. And especially with having a more intimate relationship with a friend, being able to just say, you know, hey, I would enjoy this in the future, or I'd like more of your time, things like that. So I really encourage everybody to go back and look at that video, the YouTube, it's again on 306. Really helps to just something Shasta really gives good examples from things, not necessarily just talking about a concept, but also, you know, giving some real-time experiences with different things that happen. So with that too, you know, number three is work to understand others' needs. And we've talked before about the language of love, and there's like five different love languages. And along with that too is in friendship, you know, finding out with that other person in a way that they can feel appreciated, whether it's in gifts or conversation, or there's like five different ways that we communicate with each other. So it's good to know the ways that people can feel, it's the way they feel loved and where they can feel acknowledged. So it's always a good thing to be able to look at that too. And she goes on to talk about David R. Hawkins. He has a really wonderful book called Power Versus Force, and it's the hidden determinants of the human behavior, and goes into about shame and also in fear. And then there are sort of the two of the weakest patterns to engage with that really can drain our energy and discourage us. So, and you know, why we don't have to know that that's not true when it comes to, you know, whether somebody's in shame or fear. And if you're interested in shame, you can go back to Big Magic again, and we talked about Brene Brown. She's got a lot of research on shame. And if you're interested in that, you can go to Magic Lessons with Elizabeth Gilbert, and there's a wonderful conversation that she had and talks about all the different research and stuff that she'd done. And Brene Brown, if you go to the TED Talks, she's also got a really wonderful, I think it's one of the most watched TED Talks of history, when she talks about shame and just all the different aspects of that, and where that thing really just exploded when she was able to have that go out there. And it's been about 5 or 6 years ago now that she went ahead and did that. That was really something that really changed the mindset of a lot of people once we were able to have them, you know, helping it put out on the planet, that really made a big difference with that. So the best things that we can offer is not support or advice, but validation and acknowledgement. And Shasta really goes into that when she talks about this whole idea of being from a place of, you know, to understand that other person and really being able to validate them and being able to, you know, let them know that you're there. She said, can you think of one behavior that you could do the next time you see your friend that might help to validate their feelings? And she said, it doesn't mean that you have to agree with their feelings, to simply acknowledge their existence. To acknowledge to your friend that what she is feeling. Compassion, tenderness, curiosity, or affirmations might diffuse her shame and also give her a space to process her fears, to help her feel seen and ultimately more strong, considering the offering of a gift, of being able just to kind of be for that person. And we talked about that too with, you know, with Avatar, you know, in that movie, that they, the part of the love that they had for each other with the two main characters was they would say, I see you. And that's something that every person really wants to know, is to be seen and to be heard. So I think it's just really wonderful to come from that place of, you know, can I validate and acknowledge this person for the fact that, you know, I'm sorry you're feeling this right now. And I think people want to hear that more sometimes than saying I love you. It's a matter of like I'm sorry, and that you know, whatever I can do to help support you is something really important for these people. Number four is to rethink the word needy, and I really appreciate her talking about, you know, it's just the expression for a quest or a connection is about being needy. It doesn't indicate that there's a flaw in the character, but also just it's just the fact that, you know, it's the asking for what we need. And, boy, is that just something that I just really love that we can be bringing that into all our relationships, because it's just such a nice place to be able to express that for people. She said, ongoing studies have examined that what we call dependency paradox, which is the demonstration of more dependency on one another than the independent. And when you do that, it actually shows that there is actually more creativity for that other person, because they're feeling confident with themselves.
An attached principle teaches that most men and women are only needy as their unmet needs. And when the emotional needs are met, they usually turn their attention outward. So it's like once that thing is nurtured, it really helps people to come from just a new place. And then, you know, looking at number five, it's trust that you are safe. And boy, you know, that's one thing in friendship, it's just making sure that we can feel very safe and have it be something that's really going to nourish ourselves. So just giving up and pulling away or simply giving them the appearance of being friends guarantees that we never reach the connection that we crave. While we might feel safe, it's not fulfilling. And we're the only ones that lose out. C.S. Lewis said it beautifully. He said, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one. And if so, it's really looking at withdrawing and remaining isolated, we really lean into the vulnerability, and that can really give us a time that, yes, we'll be hurt, but there's also times that we're going to be able to really stretch ourselves and grow. Like we said, you know, the opportunity to really grow through a relationship. And that really that's the only way we can move forward. There's a greater safety in building connections than there is remaining isolated. And a French inspiration said, the love in me calls out to the love in others and can never be exhausted. So it's really encouraging everyone to come to that whole level. So along with that too, you know, that with that coming into practices, you know, can you think of a friend that you can walk away from perhaps prematurely? And if you could, recall a situation where you're being able to reach back for that person and being able to, you know, just, you know, do an inquiry of like, how can it be safe and how can we move that forward with each other? I know that I had a recent friend of mine I hadn't seen for about 6 months and I kept thinking about her and I thought, gosh, you know, I'm just going to reach out and give her a call. And I wound up calling her and making plans to go ahead and meet her for brunch and just to spend some time together. And she was so glad that I called. So it just really gave everybody an opportunity to, you know, tell each other how we felt and that we missed each other and that it was something that was going to be really good. So as always, you know, the 30 minutes is just not enough time and I've got just about 2 minutes left here. It's about 2.5 minutes. And if you go to chapter 12, we're going to be looking at jealousy and envy. And I think, you know, really kind of put a pause button on that and have Amy come back with us this next time, or Amy Frost, the co-host, and being able to look at that and have it be something that we can really walk through. Because, it's you know, these are chapters that really are giving us a lot of great information. And I know a lot of our subscribers are really talking about how it's really benefiting them. So I'm just going to slow this down for a little bit because next show we were going to go ahead and wrap everything up, but we'll go ahead and cover 12 and 13 and the end of the book next week, I think, Dan, to go ahead and do a wrap-up then just to kind of give everybody a chance to be able to just kind of slow it down and just remind everybody that, you know, you can have the free workbook if you go to frentimacy.com. And again, frentimacy is frentimacy.com. And go ahead and join. And you can go ahead and do an assessment of where you are with your sense of friendships and being able to go ahead and look at the workbook, download the workbook. The workbook's about 30 pages. And Amy and I went ahead and printed that out. Just so you can, you know, take the time to work through a lot of these questions. And being able to look at these things, because it really, again, it's a way of really deepening your friendship with yourself and getting to know who you are. So when you're walking into a relationship, you know, like, what's my boundary and what do I feel comfortable with and how do I want to be changing those things for myself? So, again, want to thank everybody for joining us and being able to look at friendship in just a different way. So, you know, friendship is, you know, feelings are messengers of wisdom that guide us back to the contentment of ourselves. And through friends, that's something that really can help us to be able to help ourselves in the world to be able to be in a good place with ourselves. So I want to thank everybody again, and we'll be seeing you next time with Miss Amy here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.